University is offering courses of study leading to your certified AA through PhD all online. Call 1-800-GO-BIBLE. Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day, with the goal of motivating and informing listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on three regional stations in Florida and Georgia. Dr. Youngblood's expository preaching is also heard on these three stations in Jacksonville, Florida, St. Augustine, Florida, and Brunswick, Georgia. Now there's a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities. Your help is needed to accomplish this mission. Your support in any amount is crucial to take the next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale. Please go to fcbcatjax.com or to send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258, Attention Radio. Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you again for jumping on board, joining in the dialogue and discussion today as we're talking about an eschatological prophetic subject, the issue that we're speaking on, witnessing eschatological chessmen being put in place. I believe as we witness and watch what President Trump is doing in his whirlwind Middle East trip, he's going to be not only in Saudi Arabia, but he's leaving, going to Qatar, from Qatar to the United Arab Emirates, and he's going to Istanbul in Turkey there will be a contact there with Zelensky and Putin to discuss settlement, peace talks, as it would be called, about the war in Ukraine. I find it fascinating that all of these things are taking place in the Middle East. And I have on the line now Greg. Greg, what say you? Do you think Trump's trip is more than just financial? Do you think that there will be any significant changes in relationship to Saudi Arabia and Iran as a result of this trip? What are your thoughts in relationship to the so-called peace talks where Zelensky and Putin will be live in Istanbul, Turkey, talking about the settlement of the Russian-Ukrainian war? Just give me your insight and thoughts.
Well, you know, you were just discussing moments ago, Ezekiel 38:39, the Battle of Gog and Magog. I believe we're seeing the chess pieces being set up for that, and that, I believe, begins that eschatological clock again, where we start the countdown to Jesus' return. I believe we also have right in the midst of all that the rapture, you know, just before or just as we begin that Battle of Gog and Magog, believers, you know, can look to see the rapture, the harpazo, the pulling away. Is that correct? Is that
harpazo? Yes, the snatching.
Okay,
away.
I can't pronounce those words. In any case, but here's the thing. You know, from an eschatological view, you're the senior theologian in the room. You tell me, Iran was called what in the scripture? You step back to Ezekiel 38. What did we call it then?
That's old Persia.
Old Persia. Persia's right in the middle of this, right? Well, interestingly, you know, Russia is right in the middle of this eschatologically. Russia and Iran are closer, if you will, out-of-the-box allies today than ever in my lifetime. Ever in my lifetime. Iran has been on the radar in absolutely fantastic style since 1979 and the fall of the Shah of Iran, the Islamic Revolution. Before 1979, they were very much a westernized country. Their country looked a lot like you expect most of Europe and much of America today. I say today, in that same era. in 79. Well, everything has changed. It's dominated by Islam today. In 1979, at the fall of the Shah of Iran, the Islamic Revolution, immediately they were tagged as the number one state sponsor of terrorism. In 1979, the assets that were under the control of or in the reach of the United States, we seized. We said, nope, you're a terrorist state. Therefore, we're not going to give you access to the material to do damage to other countries. That's what we did in 1979. And for decades, we maintained that posture. And along came a president of the United States, Barack Hussein Obama, and he stepped in and said, you know what, Iran has sued this country for the return of all of their assets, and I know they're still the number one state sponsor of terrorism. I know that, he didn't say that, but we all know the status didn't change. But he said, well, I'm going to unilaterally, as president of the United States, settle this lawsuit and send pallets of cash to Iran. Okay? Fast forward a few years, Joe Biden came on board. For decades, we'd had oil sanctions on Iran. And all of a sudden, he goes, I'm not going to enforce those sanctions. We'll just let them sell their oil. And money began to flow in Iran. And very quickly, you see the rise of Hezbollah, Hamas, and the Houthis. They've been a thorn in the side of America, all peace-loving countries in the world, and of Israel. Hezbollah to the north, Hamas to the west, and the Houthis over upsetting commerce. And, you know, we've had to deal with that. But we also, through Presidents Obama and Biden, we funded that. We helped them to make that happen. And here's where I'm at. This is not a beat-up on Obama moment. This is not a beat-up on Biden moment. That was stupid politically. All right, it was the wrong thing to do. But let me tell you something, folks. Based on my read of the Word of God, God's plan ain't going to change. And some evil things people do. They go, you know, they think they've made up their mind to do X, Y, or Z, and sometimes it falls completely in line with God's plan. In the case of Joseph and his brothers, he was sold into slavery. Horrible thing. It ain't right. It's not a good thing. He ended up in Egypt, and then he became the saving grace, if you will, for the people of Israel. Today we're seeing all the chess pieces being arrayed, being set up. It's going to play out perfectly as the scripture says it. Now, we don't see all the little fine detail, but it's coming together beautifully. Here's the thing don't want to scare you, want to prepare you side. I don't see America clearly in the eschatological. Do you see it? Do you see anything?
Not there.
As the senior theologian, as the man with more years of study behind you than about 99.9%, do you see America clearly in the scripture playing out in eschatological events?
We, speaking of America, do not exist in the final eschatological picture in the Word of God. We do not exist.
But you see all these other players that do exist all the way to the very end. You see them amassed, arrayed against Israel all the way at the very, very, very end, the last battle, if you will, from a human perspective before that millennial reign begins. And the reality is something will take place. Some catalyst event is out before us. Some black swan event is out before us where the United States is no longer the mega superpower that we have been for 100 years plus. And I think as you look at things, and as you've often said, I'm neither the prophet nor the son of a prophet, but I see, I can read, and I make a study of things like macroeconomics, and I see our financial position is dire with $36.8 trillion in debt and over $219 trillion in unfunded liabilities. It doesn't take a whole lot to push over that house of cards. George Soros has been trying to do it for years. Well, the nudging and the nudging and the nudging, well, one day a whirlwind is going to come along and that house of cards is going to come tumbling down. It could be done electronically with Chinese deciding they want to do a massive raid on personal identities, identity theft. If all of a sudden half of America saw that their identity was stolen and their accounts were raided, that would cause an economic collapse. I could play games out in the future with all the different potential scenarios. We don't know what it will be, but I'll tell you right now, the players that need to be on the scene for the Battle of Gog and Magog to play out, for the Battle of Armageddon to play out, for the rise of the Antichrist, those players are They're on the scene right now. They are front and center. They are high profile. They are in the news. The other day, of all people, you had Vladimir Putin sitting directly across the table from Mahmoud Abbas, Palestinian leader. Mm-hmm. Understand, these players have to come to the table together. These players will be allied together against Israel in these last battles, in these last days. And again, I say these things not to scare you, but to prepare you and to literally trumpet the Word of God and its truth and its relevance in the world right now, today.
Absolutely. Greg, let me touch on one other thing, and I know your time is very limited. Looking at the headline, it says, Trump visits Saudi Arabia, Qatar, UAE. What to know? United States President Donald J. Trump will undertake a three-day tour to the Gulf for his first visit since retaking office in January. And he goes on to talk about this that he's doing. Why would we go? Why would he go to Qatar? Qatar, talk to our listeners a little bit. Qatar houses the elite of Hamas, and yet President Trump is going there to Qatar. Qatar has just offered a $400 million presidential suite jet airplane as a gift to America. Talk through that for just a moment as you see the, the tangled web that is there.
You know, you hit the nail on the head as far as Qatar being the playground for the elite among the terrorists in our world. As you see Hamas, members sacrificing themselves, by the way, within Islam, that's the only way to guarantee paradise is to die in jihad. And that's, you understand, that's why they're willing to blow themselves up. That's why they're willing to commit horrendous acts of violence many times. It's because they're being taught directly from the Quran. This is what it says, and they're being sent off to die. Whilst their leaders are over in Qatar, or Qatar, however you want to put it, in their high-rise palatial suites within hotels, motels, and mansions, living the life, enjoying themselves while they send people off to die. So I'm thrown by that. I'm thrown by us sending the President of the United States there. I think it's a high-risk move on his part. I'd hate to think that this $400 million aircraft is a Trojan horse, but I'll tell you what, there's some national security issues that have to be looked at very, very deeply and with great concern. From the human perspective, these things come to mind. From the biblical perspective, and I'd challenge everyone, put your biblical lenses on. Realize that from a human perspective, it's tri-level chess. From a biblical perspective, it's God's plan being played out before our very eyes. I don't know what's next.
Greg, a question, and I'm looking at an article that is bringing some elements out that I was not familiar with, that in Qatar, I'm looking at it, says Qatar, where the largest U.S. military base in the Middle East is located. Trump's agenda includes meeting with the Emir in Qatar to discuss military cooperation and regional security. Now, I view that as Qatar playing both ends against the middle, talking with the American president about security, military security, and at the same time hosting, housing, protecting the chief leaders of some of the major Islamic jihadists in the world. What say you?
Well, I'd like to analyze the scripture, and they cry peace, peace, then sudden destruction.
Yes.
I suppose that there's going to come a catalyst event where a rushing takes place and a lot of things happen very, very quickly. And not to jump off this topic, but in the scripture we see in those last days they'll be going to and fro, lots of travel, and knowledge will increase. You were mm-hmm. speaking about AI the other day. Knowledge is increasing at the fastest rate in human history. Right now, you're just one or two clicks away from all the knowledge in the universe at your fingertips, and it's growing. The accessibility is growing. We're approaching a digital singularity. Even Elon Musk threw down the warning the other day when it came to the potential of robots attacking humans. And he just off the cuff said, well, there's about an 80% chance that that'll happen. And then the follow-up question, when? He says, in the next 5 to 10 years, just like it had been studied, rehearsed, contemplated for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
So we're seeing these things yet again, you know, playing out in real time. And for this to be in Qatar and Istanbul, this is the center of the Islamic world. They're, if you will, more peaceful centers than many. There's supposed to be religious freedom in Turkey today. I'll tell you, and having recently traveled to Turkey and landed and stayed some time in Istanbul, I was concerned because though there's supposed to be a religious freedom there, they arrest people for their Facebook posts. If their Facebook posts speak ill of Islam or speak ill of the Turkish government. So there is grave concern for the health and safety, the life of the President of the United States, realizing that if he were to be harmed, and any president of the United States to be harmed, that would be a catalyst event for some really, really, really evil things. So,
absolutely.
Real concern, at the same time, excitement from a believer's perspective.
Greg, I'll say this and let you respond, and then we'll go to our next caller. Headline says, Crown Prince greets Trump for elaborate Saudi welcoming ceremony. And it goes on to talk about what is happening and who's there, Marco Rubio and Secretary of Defense Pete Hegseth, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But in the article it says, also included in that meeting in Saudi Arabia includes FIFA President and the Blackstone Group CEO, the BlackRock CEO Larry Flint, IBM CEO Kershaw, Boeing CEO Kelly Artberg, Amazon CEO, OpenAI Sam Altman, LinkedIn co-founder Reid Hoffman, and Miami Mayor Francis Suarez. We're looking at, Greg, as I see it, the ones that hold the wealth of the world in their hands, all now concentrated in Saudi Arabia for talks with the President of the United States of America. What does that connote in your mind?
Well, there will be a unity, if you will, among nations and a tying together of controls and powers around the world that will be apexed during the tribulation. When I say apex, they will come to a point and a place where the Antichrist from a single location can control everyone's ability to buy and to sell. We were right on the cusp of that, if you will, during the Wu flu outbreak, because how many people, radical technocrats were calling for vaccine passports where they could shut off your ability to buy or sell if you didn't have your vaccine passport? It sounds totalitarian, doesn't it? Mm-hmm. Well, the systems will become completely authoritarian, totalitarian, and they will be operated under a singular head during the tribulation. To see these folks coming together, even Shia and Sunni are now talking about treaties, peace agreements.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Unbelievable. Greg, never in my lifetime.
And Greg, the final footnote that I'll put on that, Saudi Arabia has already indicated to President Trump, just in the brief time that he's been there, that they have a vital, deep, wide, broad interest in the super technological advancements in AI. And when we look at the fact that there's Sam Altman, that one of the chief orchestrators of AI. And here is the picture that I see. Coming out of the Middle East, coming out of that region, we find stepping on the scene in the future tense, the Antichrist, the lawless one, that by the AI that's being developed today, where robots basically will control the globe, where you'll have the humanoids, where there will be an implanted in the brain, a chip that will allow human beings to become robotic with technology. And that type of development rapidly developing. And here's the Middle East, the deep-pocketed financiers of the globe in Saudi Arabia, that's saying, we want to be in the lead in artificial intelligence. That should show every one of us that has any knowledge of the scripture, of where we're headed when the Antichrist steps on the scene. And as you articulated so well just a few minutes ago, where that artificial intelligence through the Antichrist will be able to control every human being, where you can buy, what you can buy, what you can sell, where you can go, etc. And here is Saudi Arabia openly saying, we want to be in the controlling position with artificial intelligence. So Greg, what it says to me, and I pray that it says that to our listeners, we need to look up, lift up our heads, and realize, as Luke 21:28 tells us, our redemption draweth nigh. Greg, thank you so much. By the way, you're in the southern tip of heaven. What's the weather up there like?
It's been beautiful. We have rain off and on, but the skies are spotted with clouds, but a whole bunch of deep, beautiful blue with all the mountains leaping up out of the earth to say hello. It's I tell you, the rocks and the mountains do cry out and proclaim his glory. By the way, for all these notes, understand, folks, as believers, we have nothing at all to fear, but we do have a charge, and that charge doesn't change. Regardless of what's going on around us, we ought to go into all the world and preach the gospel. We have friends and neighbors that don't have the security, the peace that comes in the believer's heart. Fear. That knowledge, share that peace, share that love with a neighbor today. They need it, and it's, you know, the dire times are coming, and the peace that you have, you can share with a friend or a neighbor today.
Amen. Greg, thank you so much for your call. Thank you for joining us on this broadcast today. It's been a blessing. Have a blessed day. Hug Randa for us. And God bless you as you serve the Lord today. Ladies and gentlemen, that telephone number is 904-831-0917, 904-831-0917. I believe Santiago is on the phone. Go ahead with your question or comment, please.
Yes, good morning, Dr. John Black. Very good analogy that they put. Well, our President Trump, he's been there because that area always been very volatile, very unstable in that area. Because remember, our area is like you have the enemy of Yemen. Yemen and Iran, they're against Israel and all the area there. Qatar, the reason that the people from Qatar, they are trying to be friends with the United States is because that they have a big development where they receive a lot of people from the entire world, even from the United States. And that's the reason that they maintain that area, try to maintain that area in peace. Otherwise, they can be attacking to Israel. And another thing is that in the first place, the first people that they called Palestine, it was Israel after the 1940s, you know, and people don't realize. And people try to control Israel, but they don't going to happen because God is there for them. Always be going to be there for them. Thank you. God bless you.
Santiago, you're exactly right. And one of the things that I believe our listeners need to recognize and understand is that part of the discussion that President Trump is going to have with Saudi Arabia includes Israel, what to do with Israel, what to do with Gaza, what to do with a two-state solution. In fact, the Saudi Arabian crown prince is pushing for a two-state solution. I am prayerful that President Trump will not bow to that, will not bend, and will continue to take the stand. Most presidents in history past have all said that we need to divide Israel. We need to get the Palestinians a state and let that state be headquartered in Israel. Let their capital be in Jerusalem, and dividing Jerusalem and giving a two-state solution. And ladies and gentlemen, simply put, that is not the ideal plan. That is not the plan that God would have for them. I'm looking at the headline, two-state solution nearing a point of no return, warns the United Nations chief. The UN Secretary General has warned that the two-state solution for Israel and Palestine is nearing a collapse, urging the world leaders to take bold, irreversible steps to preserve the hopes of a two-state solution with lasting peace. The promise of a two-state solution is at risk, vanishing altogether, he said. Political will to achieve that goal feels more distant than ever. And it goes on to talk about the tensions on the West Bank and what is happening there. It says the Palestinians are being contained and coerced, he said. Ladies and gentlemen, there's no such thing as Palestinians. There's no such thing as having Gaza as being developed for a Palestinian state. And that is part and parcel of the discussion that President Trump will have with those in Qatar, with those in the UAE, and with the Saudi Arabian crown prince. That's the discussion that's being had. But listen, Trump will leave Saudi Arabia and travel to Turkey, where he is to have a meeting with Putin and Zelensky to have an open discussion on peace in the Ukraine. Listen, although this whirlwind trip, I believe, is through the Middle East, is billed as a financial investment trip, President Trump is engaging in the expansion, I believe, of what was called the Abrahamic Accord that he developed and had put in place in his first stint in office, 2017, 18, 19, and 20. I believe that President Trump is going to expand that. I believe he's going to wanting to include Saudi Arabia. And listen, ladies and gentlemen, if Saudi Arabia comes into the picture in the palace, in the Abrahamic Accord, we're going to watch major transitions take place in the Middle East. We're witnessing today, ladies and gentlemen, a potential peace talk with the Zelensky and Putin. We're witnessing the potential of some major events and change in relationship to the nation of Israel. Israel is in the forefront. Israel is in the centerpiece, and the discussion about Israel and the discussion about Iran, old Persia, getting the nuclear devices. And ladies and gentlemen, I believe they already have the nuclear fissible material. It's already gone through the fusion process to have the device ready, but they do not have a delivery system. We're witnessing today, I believe, a very needful and necessary trip on the part of President Trump. It's not just about finances. Look at the headline. Putin wants direct talks with Ukraine, but Zelensky and allies demand 30-day ceasefire on Monday. Vladimir Putin says he is committed to a serious negotiations and doesn't rule out agreeing to a ceasefire in the course of direct talks with Ukraine. Russia's president has suggested fresh peace talks with Ukraine in Istanbul as part of the direct negotiations, but also without any preconditions. Ladies and gentlemen, we're witnessing prophetic eschatological chess playing, with the chess board being set up and the chess men being put in place. Ladies and gentlemen, it's though we're witnessing and watching the old theater, the movie theaters, where you would go in, there's the gigantic heavy purple or royal blue or red curtains, and about 15 minutes before the showtime, the big curtains would be scrolled back. You'd have the sheer curtains that you're looking through, and as you look through the sheers, you would see them putting the tables in place, the actors getting in place, and it being ready for the curtain to lift and the show to go. We're at that point where I believe it's called, I could call it 15 minutes before showtime. We're looking at what is happening through the sheer curtains, and it's just a matter of time, moments as God sees it, before the sheers are lifted and the play, the actors are in place, and the show begins. And when I talk about the show beginning, I'm talking about the last of the last days and the time that we're looking at what we call the eschatological future. Ladies and gentlemen, we're delighted that you've joined us today. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as once again we face the issues.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida. Located 1 mile south of I-295, FCBC invites you to tune in nightly, 9 to 10, for expository preaching on 91.3, 91.7, and 91.9 FM. You're invited to worship with First Conservative Baptist Church. A reminder, CTU is now enrolling students for next semester. Ask about first semester scholarships. Call 1-800-GO-BIBLE. Tune in tonight at 11 for a replay of today's Let's Face the Issues broadcast on WBC.